I heard on Shabbos a very interesting story. Even though it's very sad, especially one part of it, but I thought I would tell it to you because it's very interesting. About 100 years ago, there lived a big tzaddik. He lived in Iraq, in Bavel. Iraq is Bavel. And his name was the Ben Ish Chai. Or he's called the Ben Ish Chai. And he was a very, very great tzaddik who wrote a lot of Sfarim and who was a very halakha tzaddik. In his time, this story happened. I want you to listen very closely to the story. In those days, in the desert, they used to travel in a shayara, a caravan. A caravan means people have to go across the desert. They don't want to go by themselves. It's too dangerous. Because if you go in the desert by yourself, there could be robbers in the desert. Or there could be poisonous snakes and spiders. So you want to go together with other people. You should take care of each other, protect yourself. Especially they might have guards that could fight off the robbers. Because in those days, let's say you're going on a business trip and you're taking a lot of things that are worth a lot of money. Or you're coming back from a business trip and you worked very hard to make a lot of money. Just think if the robbers would attack in the middle of the desert and you couldn't fight them off, they could take away everything you worked for. So they would go in this caravan, which means like a lot of people with a lot of camels or a lot of wagons, or probably not wagons because in the desert it's very hard for a wagon to go, so they would put it on the camels or maybe the donkeys. But usually camels are the desert animals. And they would go together with the guards or with the soldiers through the desert. One time, Kinalach, there was a caravan going through the desert, and as they're walking, it takes many days, and once in a while they stop to eat and they stop to drink. So people talk to each other, there's plenty of time to talk. So there was an Arab, and he was walking, and he happened to be walking with a Yid. The Yid was a businessman. And the Arab was also a businessman. And they were talking where they had gone, where they were going, and the different things they were buying and selling. And unfortunately, it was a mistake. Of course, everything is Hashgacha Pratis, but it happened to be that the Yid shouldn't have done this. He happened to tell the Arab that he had a lot of money that he had made on this trip. And as soon as the Arab heard that the Yid had a lot of money, the Arab had in his mind, he's going to, chas v'shalom, kill the Yid and steal all of his money. But of course, if he's going to do it when other people see, and there was a lot of other people there on the caravan, the Arab will get in trouble. And he doesn't want to get in trouble. He wants to do it when nobody sees. So he thinks that there's such a thing. Can you do anything that actually nobody sees? Okay. But he said, of course, no people should see. So he doesn't get in trouble from people. And so, Kinalach, one day, the Arab put his plan into actually doing it. He was walking with the Yid and talking with the Yid, and they stopped for lunch. And the Arab says to the Yid, "This is a very nice part of the desert. How about you and I going for a little walk? We'll look at the different things in the desert, the different kind of plants and animals and rocks." The Yid says, "Well, I really am kind of tired. I'd like to just kind of rest a little bit before we go on." And the Arab says, "Well, we'll just go for a little walk. And, you know, we're friends. We'll talk. And we'll just go into the desert a little ways and see how nice the desert is." Because actually the desert can be very beautiful. And finally the Yid agreed to go with the Arab into the desert alone, where nobody would be able to see them. This is what the Arab wanted, to get the Yid to go to a place that nobody would be looking at them from the caravan. And of course, if they go away from the caravan, there's nobody around in the desert. No people around in the desert. And they go down into the desert, past rocks, and past cactuses, and past little desert animals and lizards, and a few snakes. And the Yid finally says, "It's nice, but I think I've had enough of this walk. I'd like to get back." And the Arab says, "Not so fast. There's one more thing I wanted to show you." And the Arab reaches into his pocket and he says, "I have something in my pocket I want you to see." And he takes out a very sharp knife. And the Yid got scared when he saw the knife, and he got scared when he saw the look in the Arab's face, because he knew the Arab was not his friend. When he looked at the face, he knew the Arab was not his friend. And sure enough, the Arab says, "I'm going to take your money that I know you have in your pockets, and I'm going to kill you." And the Yid begged the Arab, "Please let him go. He's got a wife, he's got a family, he's got children." The Arab would not listen. And he came at the Yid with his knife. Of course, there was nobody there to hear them. There's nobody there to stop. And before the Arab got to the Yid with a knife, the Yid pointed to a bird. There was a bird there. A bird in the desert. There was a bird that was standing close by. And in fact, the bird seemed to be watching them. Sometimes a bird looks at people. And the Yid said, "This bird is going to be my witness. And for what you do to me, he is going to pay you back." The Arab laughed. Imagine that, a bird being a witness in the middle of the desert and doing anything to get me back. And he laughed and he put the knife into the Yid. Which this is the very sad part. He killed the Yid. He robbed him. He took his money. He buried him in the desert. And nobody knew. Nobody found out. And nobody had even noticed who the Yid went with on the walk. So when the Arab came back, nobody noticed that the Yid was missing. And nobody saw that the Arab had gone with the Yid, or the Yid had gone with the Arab. And that was it. When the caravan reached the other end of the desert, the Yid's family was waiting for him. He wasn't in the caravan. They asked around if anybody had seen him. Everybody said, "No. What happened?" "No." They even asked that Arab that some people said, every once in a while he went with this Arab, and the Arab said, I didn't see this Yid that you're talking about." And that was it. He had disappeared, and nobody knew what happened to him. And whenever the Arab would think about it, he would laugh. "Ha ha! I got away with a big robbery, and nothing will ever happen to me for it." Kinilach, a few years went by. This Arab took the Yid's money. It was a lot of money. He moved away to a different place so nobody should think that he had stolen the money from the Yid, because they lived in the same place on the other end of the desert. And he was very, very rich. He opened up a big business in a different place. He became a big millionaire, the Arab, from the Yid's money. And in the city that he now lived, he lived in the city of the king. And he became one of the big millionaires of the city. And the king liked millionaires. And the king many times called the millionaires to his palace and gave them a lot of covet and even made them officers, because then they would give a lot of money to the king. And this Arab became a big officer of the king. And in fact, he became the biggest officer, the Mishneh Lemelech of the king. And one day, shortly after he became the Mishneh Lemelech, the king said he's going to make a big party to give kavod to his new Mishneh Lemelech. He's going to make a big party, invite all of his officers, and they are going to give kavod to the brand new Mishneh Lemelech at this special party and a special meal. And he told his cooks, at this meal, I don't want just regular chicken or regular flesh or regular turkey or regular food that we usually eat in the palace. I want a special kind of a meal, something special that we never had before. I'm in the mood for a special kind of a food. And the cook said, what would you like, king? And the cooks didn't know what to do. I mean, the king always has good food and all kinds of different kind of food. And the king says, you figure it out. You surprise me. Go and figure out what we never had for a meal. And you try to fix that for me and for the Suda, for this special party. Well, the cooks made a meeting and they decided that there's different kinds of birds that people eat that they never had in the royal kitchen. Different kinds of birds you could have for food. For example, you know, most people eat chicken, but how many people really eat duck? And duck, it's even, this is even kosher. I mean, the king didn't care about kosher, but you know, duck is something that people usually don't eat, but they could eat. And so the cooks decided that they are going to get a hunter. They're going to send him in the desert, and he's going to hunt birds that they never have cooked before in the palace. They hired the hunter, and they said they're going to pay him money to bring back different kinds of birds from the desert that people have not eaten in the palace, but that are good to eat. And the hunter went hunting in the desert, and he brought back different kinds of wild birds from the desert. And he brought them into the royal kitchen before the cooks were going to prepare the food for the party. And they were already preparing other things they were going to serve along with the main course, the birds. They had all these birds that the hunter had hunted, and he kept them alive so they'd be more fresh, even fresher, because they would kill the birds right before they were going to cook them. And now they saw among the birds a very, very special looking bird, and they decided this is going to be the king's bird. And the other ones, they'll serve to other officers and other people, but this special bird was the most special looking bird, and that's going to be for the king. And they decided to make the king happy and get the king excited, and he'll be very proud of them and probably give them some extra bags of gold at the end of the party. And they're going to show the king his bird before they cook it and before they kill it. They took that bird to the king as the king was sitting on his throne together with his officers and his new Mishneh Lemelech. And they blew the trumpets, beep, 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 announcing the king's special bird. Oh, the king got excited, a special bird. And they brought the king the special bird, and the cook said, king, look at the beautiful special bird you're going to have by the party, and we're going to cook it for you. And the king said, that's a very interesting bird. I could hardly wait to eat it. Let's show it to the Mishneh Lemelech, and maybe he'll also get a piece. All of a sudden, the Mishnah LeMelech saw the bird, and Kinelach, his eyes got so big, his mouth opened, and he saw that was the bird. That was exactly the same bird that he had seen before in the desert. And he remembered when, the day that he killed the Yid, and that was the bird that the Yid had pointed to, and he said, this bird is going to be my witness and pay you back for what you do. Now, it wasn't just another bird like it, but he recognized by the different colors and the different feathers and the way the bird looked that this had to be exactly the same bird. But then he thought to himself, okay, what's the big deal? The hunter went in the desert and he got the same bird. Okay, so what happened? And he started to laugh, remembering how he had killed the Jew, taken away his money, and become a big millionaire because of the Jew's money. And he started to laugh. The king looked at the Mishnah Melech, and the king, of course, did not know what had happened. The Mishnah Melech never told him what had happened, that he had killed the Jew and taken away his money. And all of a sudden, the king said, hey, what are you doing? Are you laughing at my bird? You're laughing at the king's bird, that the king is going to eat this birdie by the meal? What are you laughing at the king's bird? And the king started to get very angry at the Mishnah LeMelech. And the Mishnah LeMelech says, no, I was just laughing, you know, I wasn't laughing at the bird, I was just laughing at something else. And the king says, what were you laughing at? It looked like you were laughing at my bird. I like that bird. I don't want somebody to laugh at the bird that I like. And the Mishnah LeMelech started to get a little bit like nervous. What's going on over here? Why should the king get so angry? And the king said, you tell me what you were laughing at because I want to know. And if I want to know and I tell you to do something, this is a command from the king and you must do it. So you tell me or else you're going to be finished. You're not going to come to my party. In fact, you maybe even will not be my Mishnah LeMelech. Now you tell me what you're laughing at. Well, the Mishnah LeMelech thought to himself, what's the big deal? After all, the king himself doesn't like Jews too much. So if he tells the king, because the king had said, tell me the truth. The king says, tell me exactly what you were laughing at. So he says, why shouldn't I tell him the truth? I'll tell him why I was laughing. And probably the king will just also laugh too. He doesn't like Jews so much. And nothing will happen. And so he told the king, I'll tell you what I was laughing at. A few years ago, I was going in a caravan across the desert. And I met this Jew. And the Jew had so much money. Well, I figured, I certainly didn't have as much money as that Jew. And even if I worked very hard, I probably wouldn't make as much money as that Jew, and not very fast at all. So I decided I'm going to get rich fast. And I decided to kill that Jew. I had a smart plan. I took him into the desert, and nobody was there. And when I took out my knife, the Jew said a very, very strange thing. He pointed at a bird. Did you ever hear such a thing, King? The Jew pointed at a bird, and he says, this bird is going to be a witness to what happens, and he's going to pay me back for what I do, a bird. Well, I laughed then, and I laugh today because when the hunter brought the birds back, and they brought this bird to you, this is the same bird, exactly the same bird, that that Jew had said is going to be a witness. So I laughed, I thought it was funny that it should be the same bird. Isn't that funny, King? And the Mishnah LeMelech started to laugh. And when a person laughs, sometimes he laughs so hard his eyes are closed. He was laughing and laughing. He expected to see when he opens up his eyes, the king should be laughing too. And Kinelach, he opened up his eyes when he stopped laughing. And he looked at the face of the king. And the king was not laughing. The king was angry. His face was red. And the king was angry that this Mishnah LeMelech of his should do such a low, mean thing. The king was very disappointed and very angry at his Mishnah L'Melech for the way he behaved. And the king decided also, Kinelach, the king believed in Hashem. Even a non-Jew has to believe in Hashem, should believe in Hashem, and if he is an intelligent, which means a smart person, he will believe in Hashem. And that's one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And this king, Kinelach, did believe in Hashem, and he saw from this story that this is from Hashem. He believed that things happen from Hashem. And he believed that Hashem sees everything that happens and makes everything to happen. And Hashem remembers the good things that people do, and he remembers the bad things that people do, and he rewards people and he punishes people for what they do. The king believed this. And he said, the Jew was right. This bird is going to pay you back for what you do. And he said, you're not coming to the party tonight, and you're not going to eat from the birds, and not from this bird, and not from anything else, and you're not going to be anymore my Mishnah L'Melech. What did he do? He took the Mishnah L'Melech, he made him take off his uniform, put on regular clothes. The guards took the Mishnah L'Melech home to his beautiful, beautiful house. They took his family outside and they marched the whole family, and they were not allowed to take anything. They took them to the Jew's house because they found out who the Yid was that they had killed, and the Jew's family had become very, very poor because they didn't have the Tati now to give them money. And all of a sudden, in the Yid's house, that only the wife and the Kinelach were there, the father was in Gan Eden, they saw the guards and the officers of the king together with a whole family. They didn't know what's going on. The officers came in at the command of the king, and they said that the Jew's family should come outside, and the king is giving them a present. A brand new house and a fortune of money. This is what happened. The Jewish family moved out of their little house and they moved into the big beautiful house that was the Mishnah L'Melech's. In other words, they got his house, they got all of his money and all of his things, they moved into his house. The Mishnah L'Melech's family now had to move into the Jew's dumpy, falling apart old house. And then the king ordered that the Mishnah L'Melech should be hanged in front of his house, and everybody has to come out to see from the city. And they hanged the Mishnah L'Melech, they hanged the Arab on a big, big stick with a big rope. They hanged him. And that was the end of the Maisa, the Yid's family. Of course, this is not really paying back for what happened, but this is what happened. I mean, a Yiddish life is worth more than a fortune, of course, and you cannot pay it back for money. But the Yid's family got to live in the big, beautiful house. They had all the millions of dollars of the Arab's money. The Arab was hanged, and the Arab's family had to live in the small, dumpy house, and that was the end of the Maise in the time of the Ben Ish Chai. And here is the Maise for today. A long time ago in Yerushalayim, there was a big Seuda, a big party. Some kind of a simcha was going on, either a bar mitzvah, or a chasene, or a sheva brachis, or some kind of a special suda, whatever it was. People were sitting in the house, the balabas's house, where it was. Or maybe it was in a shul, or maybe it was in a hall, but there was a lot of people there, and they were getting ready to start the suda. And everybody was sitting down, they had already washed, each one had a plate, And they're waiting for the balaboy, the bala simcha, the bala boss. He should go to the head table, and he should make hamoitzi on his big challah, and he should start eating, and then everyone else would start eating. Because the derech eretz is that they shouldn't start eating first, they should wait for the bala simcha. When he's already starting to eat, they'll also start to eat. And so they were waiting. Each one had on his plate a hard-boiled egg. That was the first thing they were going to eat, a hard-boiled egg. Now, there was a certain man at this party. He was starving. That day he did not have any breakfast. And he did not have any lunch. And by the time it came to the party, he was so hungry. And he said to himself, listen, I'm going to a big party, so I'll eat there. He didn't eat anything at home, and he was starving. Oy vey vey, he was so hungry. And he was so hungry, he wanted to eat up that hard-boiled egg. The problem was, if he's going to eat it up, the hard-boiled egg, then his plate will be empty. He'll be embarrassed because he's got nothing in his plate. And everybody else has a hard-boiled egg in his plate. So everybody's going to see that he ate up his hard-boiled egg. So he tried not to eat his egg, but he was so hungry, he just ate it up. He ate up his hard-boiled egg. And now his plate was empty. He looked around. Everybody else had hard-boiled eggs on their plate. And now he's going to be embarrassed when the Bala Simcha goes up there and he's going to see that he's got an empty plate. He's going to see that he ate up his hard-boiled egg before everybody else. He felt embarrassed. Now it just so happened that the man sitting next to him, he had two hard-boiled eggs on his plate. He had an extra hard-boiled egg. So he says to the man sitting next to him, excuse me, I see on your plate you have two hard-boiled eggs. On my plate, I don't have any hard-boiled eggs because I ate up my egg. I was so hungry. And now I'm going to be embarrassed that my plate is empty. Maybe you'll give me, please, your hard-boiled egg, the extra one, so I could put it on my plate, and then I wouldn't be embarrassed. The man sitting next to him says, you mean give you for free my egg? And this is on my plate. I should give it to you for free? Well, the man says, I'll tell you, you don't want to give it to me for free, so I'll pay you for it. I'll pay you money for the egg. Oh yeah? How much you got? He reaches in his pocket, and it just so happened he did not bring any money to the party. He didn't have any money in his pockets. He says, look, I don't have any money now, but I'll pay you later. I'll pay you later, after the party, I'll pay you whatever the egg is worth. So the man says, sitting next to him, and what if you forget to pay me? He says, look, I'm not going to forget. Whatever the egg is worth at the time that I pay you, let's say, for example, today, an egg costs a dime. In the marketplace, an egg costs a dime. So he says, I'll pay you a dime. If I forget for a couple of days, let's say the price of eggs goes up to 15 cents. Sometimes the price goes up from something. And let's say in the marketplace on that day they're selling for 15 cents. Let's say this party was on a Sunday. And he will forget until Tuesday. On Tuesday the price of eggs goes up to 15 cents. So he says, so then when I remember, I'll pay you 15 cents. And the man says, well, what if when you remember it's more expensive? He says, look, if I forget all the way till Thursday and the price of eggs goes up to 20 cents, and that's the day I remember to pay you, so I'll pay you 20 cents. Whatever will be the price of an egg on the day that I remember, whatever this egg is worth on the day that I remember, so I'm going to pay you. Okay, the man says, remember your words. Whatever the egg is worth on the day that you remember to pay me, this is what you must pay me. Remember your words. Okay? So the man gave the hard-boiled egg from his plate, and he put it onto the empty plate, and the man who got the hard-boiled egg was so happy that he had the hard-boiled egg. And now the Bala Simcha came, and he washed, and he sat down by his big challah, and he made hamotzi, and he started eating his hard-boiled egg, and he looked around that everybody else had their hard-boiled egg, and everybody started now to eat.